In 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Hoop Collective. It's go ahead.
Welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's very late after the Raptors won the championship. The culmination of the season, and it feels a little strange. We've just all finished our work at the arena and left Oracle Arena for the last time. I would assume. I don't see why I'd ever go back. Do you? I mean,
I think that's it.
We got Tim Bontemps here, Nick Friedel, Andrew Hahn running the show. I've covered 10 finals now. I've never covered a finals like this. Never felt like this after a season. Klay Thompson, we found out, Woj reported, and then the Warriors put out a statement late after the game, probably after a lot of people went to bed. There's probably going to be a lot of people who wake up to this news that he tore his ACL on that play. So that means that Kevin Durant will probably miss all of next season, and that Klay Thompson will miss the bulk of next season, depending on how he recovers. It's a stunning turn of events, and in a crowning moment for the Raptors, it's hard to focus on anything else. I mean, Nick, what was the mood around the Warriors tonight?
Sadness. Shock once the Klay news came out, and that was after we had all gotten out of the locker room, out of the press conference room. But I'd also add this, guys. As sad as they were that they lost the series, I thought Draymond might have said it best. They gave everything they had. And there is something to be said for any team that leaves everything they have out on the floor, even in defeat. And this team is not used to losing. We're not used to seeing them lose over the years. But there is a fulfillment from within that group that they did everything they possibly could. It's just such a range of emotions for the Warriors, who are used to everything going their way, really, aside from that the end of that Cleveland series a couple years ago, to lose Kevin in that fashion in Game 5 and then feel like they're going to push it to Game 7 and then, boom, there goes Klay.
Yeah, you hear the phrase, we're going to ride this till the wheels come off. The wheels came off. It's funny, in 2015, when I was, I guess the series ended in Cleveland, but Game 6, 2015, the Cavs had, they lost Kevin Durant in the playoffs, they lost Kyrie Irving during the finals. Matthew Dellavedova basically had to go to the hospital because he had nothing left by the end. And that Warriors team struggled to get respect. If you remember, Steph sort of like lost it the next year and said, I'm sorry we had everybody healthy and everything like that. This Warriors team did not win, but has everybody's respect. It's a strange position.
Do they actually have everybody's respect, or is it just everybody's just talking about the Warriors? I feel like it's just that. I think anybody who doubted them before or didn't have respect for them before just now says, well, they just got lucky before. I feel like that's kind of.
I think they got lucky.
Well, I'm not saying I don't believe that, but I think the people who doubt the Warriors, I think the way they look at this now is that this, you know, they finally ran into some bad luck and they didn't win, right? I mean, I think the way, ironically, Toronto, I think, is going to come out of this series in a similar situation to where Golden State was in 2015, where nobody is going to talk about them winning this championship at all. And if Kawhi leaves in 2 weeks or 3 weeks and goes into free agency, then people are going to call this a total fluke, and they're going to just like kind of write it off as a historical anomaly.
But let's just say that does happen. Like, let's just say that Kawhi does leave.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Who thinks Kawhi is leaving as we sit here 3 hours
after the events of the last 4 days? I have no idea what the hell is going on. Like, yeah. I'm still reeling from Kevin Durant getting hurt on Monday. Now I'm completely blindsided about this Klay. I mean, not blindsided by it. I thought he might have blew his knee out the way he landed in the first place. But like, two of the three best free agents on the market, the top three free agents on the market, were playing in this series this summer. This summer, everybody's been talking about for years, right? Two of them are now out for next season, probably.
Crazy.
In the span of 4 days. It's absolutely insane.
But do you think Kawhi?
I honestly don't know. If I had to pick, I would say that he stays, but I don't think anybody knows for sure what he's going to do, and I think at this point it's kind of useless to speculate about it.
I don't feel good about him staying, but it's just speculation. I don't have any information.
If Tim Bontemps does not know the answer to these questions, then nobody knows the answer to these questions.
Tim, by the way, the way the game ended tonight with that call that they had to review the call.
So strange. The last 4 days, can we just stop for a second? The last 4 days have been so strange, right? Like game five, you wrote about it. It was the most bizarre feeling in the arena, right? Like Bob Myers is sobbing on the podium and like both teams are kind of shell shocked in the game they won, right? Like if Toronto had won that game, what would the post game even been like? It would have been the strangest thing, you know? Then today, like obviously the Raptors win on the road. That's always kind of a weird thing anyway. And then in the last game in Oracle Arena, and then this Klay Thompson news comes out tonight. Like it's just been so weird. And even the end of the game, to your point, was incredibly weird.
So some of the sports books in Vegas had the line at 111 or 211. Some of them had 211.5. Some of them had it at 212. So when they call a foul at 112, 110.
You're saying you mean 220? Because the number you're talking about is like 10 points lower than what the total was.
All right, well, maybe I had it totally wrong then. Because I thought I saw it at 2. You're right. I just did the math wrong.
To go back to Bontemps' point about the oddity of the past few days, these Anthony Davis trade rumors cropped up in the past couple of days. Like, this whole finals was intertwined with free agency and, like, next season as well. It's like, what is going on? Not only can we not wrap our heads around what was going on between the Warriors and the Raptors, but every single permutation had these ripple effects about the next 5, 6, 7 things.
It's just crazy. I mean, we've been talking about this summer all season, right? Going back to training camp. Kawhi Leonard, what's he going to do? Kevin Durant, what's he going to do? Before the finals, I wrote this column about how the finals are going to be overshadowed by the futures of Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant, right? And now we're here at the end of these finals. Klay's blown his knee out. Kevin's blown his Achilles out. That impacts what all these other teams are trying to do in terms of trying to get Anthony Davis. He might get traded by the draft. Like, it's just, it's really unbelievable how much the league has changed in the last 5 days. And it's very little to do with the fact that, you know, the NBA Finals was won. I mean, it's just, it's almost like it's an afterthought. It's very strange.
Like, in that moment, I was out on the court tonight watching the Raptors celebrate with their families. Kawhi's family was all there. His uncle Dennis was there.
His sisters.
Probably 4 or 5 members of his family. Yeah. They're just in total euphoria. Messiah's wrapped in the Nigerian flag.
Pascal, the Cameroonian flag.
Yeah, that it was actually quite a night for Africa.
Serge Ibaka. Yep.
He didn't have the flag of the Congo, but certainly representing it. And then, the Canadians, when there was a
Marc Gasol, second out first brothers to win title. I mean, it's a really international team.
Yeah. And then Alex McKechnie, he's from Scotland. There was a bunch of international flavor up there. But anyway, seeing them celebrate that championship, Lowry just embracing the trophy, and Masai, everything that he's gone through to build that team. The concept that Kawhi could walk and Masai could possibly leave. Woj came out and reported right after the game. And I also want to point out that Ben Standig from NBC Sports Washington has been on this story for weeks, that the Wizards would go after Masai Ujiri, go after him in a way that potentially would offer him not only maybe the largest contract ever given out to him. How much? What was Phil Jackson's contract?
Five for 60.
Okay, I don't know if it'll surpass that, but somewhere in
that worked out well.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Masai has a slightly different track record as an executive than Phil Jackson.
That's true. Both Ben and Woj have reported that there's a possibility of an ownership stake. The concept of Masai leaving the team and Kawhi leaving the team, whether we think that's likely or not, the concept that that's out there is just such
it
a
adds to the it adds to the oddity of the whole thing. It's just been the strangest week, and it's been the strangest finals. Like, these finals are really compelling, right? Like, other than game three, which, you know, was kind of weird because Clay didn't play, every other game was a great game. Like, came down to the end. The last two games literally were basically one-point games with 5 seconds to go, right? You can't ask for anything better. And at the same time, it's just totally overshadowed by everything else.
Let me ask you this. Is the Wizards' job, which is John Wall in a massive recovery, is the Wizards' job, even if you are paid, highly paid, because the Raptors have him under contract.
Well, look, if you look at this situation, right, my prediction is that Masai stays with the Raptors because MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, the group that owns the Raptors, has more money than God, and I think they will just match or surpass any offer he gets, and he will stay. However,
but they can't give Canadian ownership God, of the team. Though.
Well, they have more money than all the gods.
Even Drake.
If he does go to Washington, though, I mean, his wife is from the area. And more importantly, he does, as we all know, this Giants of Africa program. And if you're in Washington and have the access to various things in Washington that comes with that, perhaps that's something that means something to him. And he wants to go try to expand that on a greater stage. That's something he's talked about a lot.
Well, if he talks about other factors than besides basketball, well, then, you know.
But look, there's no question. You just look to, like Nick said, he could cut you off properly. You look at what Toronto has, the amount of money they have to invest in the infrastructure of this franchise,
The fact they won the championship,
they have a roster that if Kawhi comes back, there's no reason they can't be back here again, especially given what just happened over the past week. Like, they're going to be really good.
The problem is, how can he even interview for the job? Like,
how could Kawhi even think about leaving?
Well, I'm saying, like, until he has a, obviously it's not going to be much of an interview. They want him. It's not like they're going to say, oh.
Right. I mean, look, the fact they haven't interviewed anybody after interviewing Danny Ferry, Tommy Shepard, and Troy Weaver for weeks kind of indicated to everybody this was what was going to be happening at some point.
I just think it's remarkable in such a statement on today's NBA that you could see the finals MVP.
And the guy who traded for the finals MVP.
Potentially leaving. I mean, Larry Tannenbaum, I believe, spoke to the media tonight. I saw some stuff on Twitter about this, but I couldn't nail down a story. I believe answered on Twitter or answered tonight reporters' questions and basically said he's not going anywhere. Yeah, I think he's got 2 years left on his contract.
As I said, the MLSE has more than enough money to match or exceed any offer any team in the league wants to offer.
Well, unless they offer him, you know, percentage of the Capitals, percentage of the Wizards, percentage of
maybe. I'm just saying the MLSE can step up and offer all the money he wants.
Tone. So I'm going to read a spot here by one of my favorite advertisers, Goodyear, Andrew, because Goodyear, my grandfather worked there for almost 40 years from my hometown. And I've noticed on our other platforms that they have a really good, like, deep reading person who does the Goodyear ad read. So I'm going to try my best to sound like that person. Okay. It's that time of year again, the NBA Finals. This is where all the hard work pays off and we see who's tough enough to be crowned champion. It's where players are more driven than ever to go further, faster, and longer. That's what drives Goodyear to make tires that do the same. Goodyear knows that performance is everything, whether it's on the court or on the road. So when it comes to choosing tires, let Goodyear.com help you choose what's best. Goodyear, more driven. The Warriors are having a press conference tomorrow, a standard end-of-season press conference. I highly doubt they're going to have any answers for anything. They're going to just be so exhausted. My snap reaction is that they will make maximum full contract max offers to both players.
I agree with you completely. That's been the feeling all along, even after the last few days. If Kevin and Clay want to stay and want to get all the money, I believe it will be all there for them from the Warriors' perspective.
It'd be a pretty awful look if they didn't.
Right. So
you could say it might be the right business move, but it would look awful.
They have no way to functionally replace them anyway. They're Hall of Famers. So you do everything you possibly can to keep Hall of Famers. Well,
especially Clay. Like, I mean, you know, obviously Achilles are a pretty scary injury, but at this point, you know, I know Nick has some PTSD from the Derek situation in Chicago. But for the most part, guys have proven they can come back from ACL injuries and be fine. So
do you think there'll be any fallout on the fact that he blew out his left ACL? And granted, it was a hard landing. but he's had lots of hard landings.
I don't know, man. I'm not a sports scientist.
He blew out his left ACL while playing on a weakened left hamstring.
I don't know. I'm not a sports scientist. I don't even know what to say about. I mean, the last week has not been great for the Warriors medical staff, just in general, when you look at how it's played out. But I don't know what caused anything at this point. It almost doesn't matter.
Right. Well, I just think that it's going to be one of those things that is going to be discussed.
Can I pose a,
no.
Okay. Is it not out of the realm possibility that Kevin Durant will choose to resign because previous to his injury, that fifth year did not mean much to him?
I don't think that will matter either way.
So peculiar. Okay.
I think, I mean, look, here's what I would say. I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think. I think that, the teams that wanted to pay Kevin Durant before the injury are going to be willing to pay Kevin Durant after the injury.
Yes.
And I think that regardless of whether he decides he wants to be here or not, I don't think getting the fifth year now is going to change that. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who's already made hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not, I mean, it's kind of callous to say, well, it's an extra $40 million. It's a lot of money, but like, this isn't a guy coming off his first contract that like hasn't made any money. Like Kevin's made a lot of money. So I think in the end, he's going to choose to do the decision he was going to choose in the first place. And I don't think getting that extra year is going to make a difference in the end.
If you're Kevin.
And I don't think he's going to stay because of the injury. If he was going to stay, he's going to stay anyway. That's all.
If you're Kevin and you're coming off an Achilles rupture, I would think about it more to your point. I would think about just taking the money. But I tell you this, and being around the Warriors all year, and especially in the last couple months, I've heard the same things that we've all heard, that the organization had prepped itself for Kevin potentially leaving in a couple weeks. And I feel like everything has changed now because he's got to decide if this is the best place to rehab the injury. He's got to decide if he is still comfortable within the framework of the organization. He's got to decide if he still wants to live in the Bay. And he's got to make all these decisions in the next couple weeks, having just gone through this surgery. So it's been weighing on him all year. It's something that I know he's thought about all along, but he has to make that choice. As far as Clay, B, to your point, I don't think this changes one thing for Clay. On July 1 or now June 30th at, 6 o'clock, my feeling always from being around this team was that Clay was going to re-sign. Here's the max. Clay, we love you. I love you guys. Great.
As long as they gave him the max, my feeling the whole time was that he was going to stay instantly, and that was the only issue, is if they tried to be cute about it, then maybe something would change, but I don't think that's going to happen now.
It is crazy that in the last 2 years, we've seen three mega free agents suffer huge injuries going into their free agency, with DeMarcus Cousins as well. I mean, you just don't see Achilles tears that often.
Let me ask you a question.
And John Wall too.
Let me ask you a question. So we have come through, and I think at some point we should go back to the Raptors, but since they did actually win.
Your point is coming to fruition,
no,
by the way.
Well, I know. I'm still trying to wrap my head around everything that happened. You have been around a guy, Brian, in LeBron James, who repeatedly signed one-year deals. We have both been around Kevin Durant, who repeatedly signed one-year deals. When you look at what has happened over the past week, and you mentioned DeMarcus too, right? Is there a possibility that we are going to see guys start to go away from that formula just because of what's happened over the past
year?
Boy,
I would seriously discuss it. I mean, Anthony Davis has obviously decided he's not going to be in New Orleans, but he is giving up a massive amount of money to do so, a massive amount of money to get out. And, it doesn't make sense for him to extend his contract for various reasons. But there are ways that he could extend his contract, depending on where he got traded. But it would give me pause to anybody who was considering taking a short deal. Because one of the things that's been discussed with Kawhi, for example, is if he elected to stay in Toronto, he's an 8-year veteran. You make more money as a 10-year veteran. So if you're an 8-year veteran, ideally,
you sign a 2-year deal with an option, yeah, and then you go into free agency, right, after your 10th year.
Right. So your insurance is the third year. I can't see anybody doing that right now. It's just the whole league has to be spooked by this. It just
have to be. I mean, it's a truly stunning turn of events. Like, again, two of the three best players who are going to be available this summer are now probably not going to play next year. Or maybe Clay's going to play a little bit next year. Maybe Kevin will play a little bit. It's just unbelievable.
It's really bad for the league.
I think that's getting lost in all this.
Yeah.
This is a star-driven league. It always has been. And you have lost two of your biggest stars in the span of 3 days.
And you've lost potentially your most popular team.
I mean, look, the Warriors could maybe not make the playoffs next year. Like, I think they probably will, but
it's impossible to know now.
But but it's crazy. They really could. I mean, they're going to be in a dogfight for it.
Timmy, say it.
Timmy, you're on a roll. So
say
like,
it.
Oh, I'm not. No. But I mean, I'm not making jokes. Like,
I know you're not. That's what I'm saying.
Clay Thompson's going to miss probably the whole year. Let's say they re-sign Kevin Durant and Clay Thompson. Let's say Kevin Durant stays. I mean, I don't think he's going to stay.
So you have Steph, Draymond, Andre, Sean Livingston probably retires.
Right. You'd have Steph, Clay, you'd have Steph, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and then like whatever else. Like that team could not score against the Raptors. That's like a
I believe though, if that team stays healthy, depending on what
you're talking about Steph staying healthy. You're talking about Draymond, who remember dropped 25 pounds in March, right? Like
they re-signed DeMarcus. No.
Maybe. They might have to. I was talking to Mike Wilbon about that after the game. He's like, these guys have to re-sign DeMarcus if they have scoring? Like, maybe. They do.
Maybe DeMarcus comes back again because there's a bigger role for him. And he's still...
I don't know.
DeMarcus tore his quad. He wasn't even supposed to be in the finals.
He had no... I give, on a quick aside, DeMarcus Cousins a huge amount of credit for even being in this moment. He had no lift at all. He could hardly get up and down the floor.
And in the games they won, he was a big factor. And he was a big factor today, too.
We didn't even mention Kevon Looney.
Oh, his whole right side was just killing him in game six.
Kevon Looney better get paid this summer. He's really good. And he's a really tough guy.
You know what they say? Things always end badly, otherwise they wouldn't end. And that's what happened today.
And look, at some point, too, this is the cumulative effect of 5 years, right? All this. These guys have all played an extra season.
100 game seasons.
I mean, it's just, at some point, your body just wears down.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Is there something that interferes with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, even family conflicts. You connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential, of course, and it's so convenient. You can now get help on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. If you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. This is a truly affordable option for our listeners. And you can get 10% off your first month with discount code HOOP. So why not get started today? You go to betterhelp.com/hoop. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that we promise you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/hoop. Let's go back to the Raptors. We're too tired to have a proper coronation, but Tim, you called this a while ago. They are
fittingly for the series. We can't even do a coronation properly because everyone's exhausted.
They are so deep and so versatile. And this game six showed Kawhi probably has worst game of the series. They
won because of the other guys.
That's right.
They won because of Kyle Lowry. They won because of Pascal Siakam. They won because of Fred VanVleet. You know, Danny Green, I don't even think he took a shot, but he made like five big defensive plays, right?
Did,
like
he did not take a shot.
Serge Ibaka made plays. Marcus All was pretty bad, but he made a couple plays late. Yeah. Like up and down the roster, their guys made plays.
You know, they only played eight guys tonight.
That's what they've been playing.
But OG Anunoby didn't end up playing, but they have more than eight.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, they're deep, they're versatile, and like the whole time.
They're tough.
They're really tough. And that's the thing, like, everybody was waiting for them to turn into the same old Raptors, right? The whole time. Like, when is this team going to go back, revert back to form? And, you know, some of that is they have a lot of new guys, and some of it is that this team just is really tough. And they, people counted them out in the middle of the Philly series. They counted them out in the middle of the Milwaukee series. They counted them out and in the middle of this series, you know, after game five, people were sure they were going to lose today, right? Just about everybody at the arena today was like, oh yeah, we're going to go back to Toronto. It's going to be a game seven. You know, after game two in Toronto, when they blew that game at home, oh, the series is, you know, that was their chance, right? And these guys just keep plugging along. I mean, they went 4-0 at Oracle this year. 4-0.
That's pretty damn good.
The Warriors had lost one game and combined the past 2 years at home in the playoffs. And they won three in this series and won their game in December, too.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
I want to talk about Anthony Davis because we're going to have to start transitioning to the offseason because it is the offseason now. So we had the reporting we all did this week. In my mind, and I'll listen to whether you guys think I'm off here. What's going on right now is the Pelicans are trying to get the best offer out of the Boston Celtics. I do think it's encouraging to the Lakers that the Knicks don't seem to be heavily involved, although they could get back in. And I also think it's encouraging that the Pelicans are shopping the number four pick because it means that they are at least considering the Lakers' offer and trying to better the Lakers' offer, whereas back in February they wouldn't even negotiate. They just received the offer and hung up the phone. So I think that there's better faith happening. But I still think this entire thing is just one big ploy to get the Celtics to make the offer that the Pelicans want. They want to make a deal with the Celtics.
As you said the other day to me, if the Lakers' deal was good enough, he'd already be traded. So why isn't he traded? Because they want Jason Tatum.
Maybe he will be. Maybe that they will decide.
Well, I mean, maybe it will happen. Maybe it will happen, right? But it hasn't yet. And the Lakers clearly want him. So why hasn't it happened yet? In theory, because they want Jason Tatum.
B, what is the deal that they want from Boston?
Well, Tim and I talked about this earlier today. It's definitely Jason Tatum.
It almost has to be Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart. Who they don't want to trade, but they're probably going to have to just from a money standpoint.
Right.
Along with probably at least one first round pick.
Okay, so they have three picks in this draft. None of them are in the lottery. Or is one of them in the lottery? No, none of them are in the lottery.
No, one is the 14th pick.
That's right, the 14th pick. So they have three picks, basically 14 and higher.
I think they have 14, 20, and 22.
Okay. The pick that they have that really has value is next year's Memphis first round pick, which is top six protected.
Then the following year is unprotected.
Yes. And, you know, Memphis is still in a rebuilding phase. They're going to probably trade Mike Conley and play the hell out of Ja Morant. I, of course, if I was the Pelicans, would want the Memphis pick. I wouldn't want the 22nd pick in the 2019 draft or the 20th pick.
Or the 14th pick.
Right.
In a three-player draft.
Right. So, you know, I don't, you know, Boston has been preparing for this trade for over a year. They've been keeping an eye on
way longer than over a year. I would say 5 years.
They've wanted Anthony Davis for a long time, but they could really hone in on what they have in their stable for a year. David Griffin has been preparing for this trade since before he interviewed for the job. How this trade potentially goes down will affect David Griffin's tenure. It won't necessarily define Danny Ainge's, but it'll be
awfully important. Define David Griffin's, though.
It could. It could, for sure.
I mean, it almost certainly will, one way or the other. I mean, you make a trade like this, it's a defining trade.
I don't know. You could argue that winning the lottery might define David Griffin's tenure.
I mean, wasn't the Dwight Howard trade supposed to define Rob Hennigan's legacy?
I mean, it did define Rob Hennigan's legacy.
Yeah, he was doing really well, and then he was doing terribly.
It defined his legacy because he got fired, and it was a bad trade.
The Dwight trade wasn't a bad. Didn't end up being a bad trade. It was every other move he made after that. I apologize for hijacking
that was
the whole
a bad
Orlando
trade.
Met.
That was a
the
bad
Dwight
trade,
Howard trade was a bad trade for the Orlando Magic.
What'd they get out of that trade, pal?
You got Nikola Vucevic.
Okay. What else did they get out of that trade?
I think the question would be
Mo Harkless, a bunch of picks.
Yeah, they gave away Mo Harkless.
What else? What were the competing offers?
What's that?
What's
Yeah, get off the Orlando Magic, please.
It's only a bad trade in the context of something around it. So if there's no other trades, then how can it be a bad trade?
Right.
I don't want to relive the Dwight trade. I had to live through that once. I don't want to live through it again. Well, let's get back to irrelevant things, unlike the Magic. Let's talk about...
Ouch.
That was a shot at my boy Nick and his terrible hometown of Orlando.
By the way,
let's get back to this. No, it's okay. So, look, at the end of the day, do we agree this just comes down to whether they can get the Celtics to give up Jason Tatum or not?
Well, I think it comes down to whether or not they want to draft the number four pick if they can't trade it. Because it looks to me like David Griffin doesn't want to draft the number four pick.
Well, again, but that's why
the
I think...
fourth pick in a three-player draft.
I
mean,
look, that's why I think this... I still just think... Like, I was going through this, through the teams in the league with a guy, with a league executive this week, just trying to find places where maybe they could turn the fourth pick into something. There's not a lot of guys they could really turn it into. Like, it's not...
What about the seventh pick?
Who owns that one?
Ah, the laugh track is back. Look, I just, to me, this, I think your initial read on this is right, is that if the Lakers had enough right now, this would be done, right? But it's not. So why isn't it done? Well, because Jason Tatum is probably, even though I think he's not quite as good as maybe most of the people do, he's still the best guy on the board. And if you're trading Anthony Davis and you can get Jason Tatum to play on the wing next to Zion Williamson, and you can get Marcus Smart to play in the backcourt with Jrue Holiday, which would immediately be the best backcourt in the NBA defensively, all of a sudden, like, you got a team that looks pretty interesting.
Well, here's the thing. Also, if you're like the Lakers, you're looking at this lay of the land. You're like, well, the Warriors are not going to be championship contenders next year, in all probability. There's a possibility that Anthony Davis could be traded east. The Lakers might...
Listen, if I'm the Lakers, I'm doing anything I can to get Anthony Davis. Right
ooh,
now.
Wait.
You put Anthony Davis with LeBron James right now, the field in the West is wide open.
But I think the thing is, like, you know, the big thing for the Lakers, well, Nick, you're hot on something. Go ahead.
Who is the favorite in the West as we sit here?
We can't do it right now.
No, we can't
do it right now.
Why?
Why? Why? Because we don't know what's going to happen in July. Yeah.
Oh, all right. A little rhyme from Timmy V. He's feeling it now. He's back. He's back, folks. Timmy V has awakened.
The coronation has me excited.
That's right. Wait,
I'm getting a second win at 137.
The thing is, like, if you're the Lakers,
it's not with the laugh track.
To me,
I get
the
excited.
Big giant question for them is, let's say Anthony Davis goes to the Celtics, and they've blasted from the rooftops that he will not stay in Boston, he will leave. Do you, especially with the Warriors down, do you go sign Kemba Walker and not be able to have cap space to sign Anthony Davis next year?
Hell no.
Well, this is the thing. We know that the Warriors are going to be down. You know, the Nuggets will be there.
Do we expect the Lakers to be expedient and planning for the long term again?
Not with a 34-year-old LeBron, even regardless of the Lakers' history. The 34-year-old LeBron.
They've already punted 1 year with LeBron.
If the Lakers just properly construct their roster for next season, they'd be at least in contention to win the West?
No. I think that's a big stretch. Let's just wait. Let's just wait and see what happens in July before we start trying to decide
nobody
who is going
to
be
waiting. Wait, Timmy V.
I'm going to wait.
But this affects how the Lakers do their
predictions
planning.
Like you did.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I want to be right. You want to know how you make predictions like I did? You look at the information when you have it, and then you make a prediction. I didn't make predictions in May.
Yeah, baby.
In June.
But my point is, if you're the Lakers, you have to determine what a plan B is.
Right, but that's different than saying, are the Lakers going to be in like a championship contender?
I know, but like if you're like the Portland Trailblazers, you're smelling blood.
Okay.
If you're the Denver Nuggets, you're blood.
I've got a prediction about the Lakers. No matter who they add, it's not enough. Because I am not buying that LeBron at 34, will be 35. Apologies to my man, McTen.
Yeah.
I don't believe that LeBron as a centerpiece can win with one other guy.
Here's the bigger story to me, right? Like, Brian, you mentioned this before about the death of the Warriors,
Michael
potentially,
Buck reference.
Right? With Klay Thompson down, with Kevin Durant down, whether they re-sign or not. How many teams in the East are you taking next year before you take anybody from the West? Could be as many as four or five. Like, this could have finally officially marked the demarcation to where the Eastern Conference is the dominant power in the league.
Well, let's are we going to assume that the Philly
line of demarcation from west to east. Klesny, when he went down.
I mean, it's partially that. It's also just partially that the East is loaded.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you who was well acquitted by these playoffs were the 76ers. If I were the 76ers and I saw how this all played out, I'd be like...
I'd be paying Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and bringing it back.
Let's run it back because Kawhi may go off and we might have been able to beat the Warriors. That's what I'd be thinking if I were them.
Well, the crazy thing is right now, like to go back to Nick's question, the kingmaker in the league right now might be Kawhi Leonard. A, he might be the best player in the league. B... Well,
I thought it was Durant until 3 days ago.
B, let's say Kawhi stays with Toronto, right? They're at minimum going to be in the conversation to make the finals again, and then they'll probably win.
Yes.
And if he goes to the Clippers, which is probably the most likely destination he would go to, then they could very easily automatically be the best team in the West.
That's right. Yes. I agree. But Boston's
it's not
a
prediction,
mark.
Andrew Hahn. Settle down over there.
Boston is a question mark. But
well, look, Milwaukee's going to be really good again.
Yep.
Philly's going to be really good.
Yep.
Boston, I think, is going to be better next year without Kyrie Irving than they were this year. If Kawhi stays in Toronto, they're going to be really good. You know, in theory, the Knicks or Nets are probably going to sign guys who can play next year. One of them. They are going to be good. Like, the East has got a lot of talent in it. And at the top of the West is starting to dip.
We've gone from, at the start of this was a terrible night for the NBA, to now... depending on what happens in a couple weeks with all these different moves.
Well, it was still a terrible night for the NBA.
The point is you go forward, this could be a great thing from a broader perspective for the league.
Well, wait a second. We were already talking about that before two of the three best players this summer got knocked out for all next year.
This is how we tie it all together. At the start of this podcast...
This is an editor move right here.
We talked about... the uncertainty and the instability and the confusion of the end of this finals, all of that stuff. They've changed, the Larry O'Brien trophy has changed hands from Golden State to Toronto. And now, next season, it's essentially a wide open race.
Bingo.
But, no one knows what's going to happen next season for the first time in many years.
Okay, that's fine. And that's potentially good. Parity is potentially good. But the NBA has proven to be a star-driven league. And also... we thought there was a good chance that the Knicks and the Lakers were both going to really.
There's a chance the Lakers could get Anthony Davis, the Knicks could get Kevin Durant, or that both Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis could be on the Knicks.
Or
just
that
playing
or the
sad
Knicks
Price is Right trombone right now.
I mean, instead, two of the three best players who are going to be available this summer are now probably not going to play next season. It's just a fundamental shift of where the league's foundation
is. The Knicks and Lakers might end up shut out.
Again.
I feel a tear coming on.
Well, it speaks to the health of the league, though.
Absolutely. But wait, I have another question for my friends on the panel here. Are we sitting here tonight believing that the Warriors' run, as we've known it, is over?
Well, it depends on how you define that.
Do we not think the Warriors... with the core group that they have in place, can win another title?
I think I was ready to say that if Klay Thompson was healthy, like if that doesn't happen today, I think the Warriors would have been the heavy favorites to get out of the West next year. And then they'd had a chance.
I agree.
I would say they still have a chance to be a title, to win another title with this group. But look, It's right now. It's just very hard to say because now there's so much uncertainty, right?
Well, here's what you're selling.
We already don't know. We already don't know about Kevin Durant. Well, wait a second. We already don't know about Kevin Durant. Now we don't know about Klay Thompson's recovery, right? As you know too well, like this isn't 100% certain you come back from an ACL,
right? You don't know.
And on top of that, there's the looming question of what happens with Draymond Green, who has 1 year left on his deal, who has hired Rich Paul to be his agent, who, as we all know, is aggressive in negotiating. Right? Draymond is going to want to get paid. The fact that Klay did not qualify for the Supermax this year means that Draymond still can get the Supermax next year. You damn well know Draymond is going to go out and try to win Defensive Player of the Year and qualify for the Supermax, right?
Maybe even try to get All-NBA.
Another prediction.
Well, either way. No, but listen.
Draymond stays healthy, he's the Defensive Player of the Year next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, look.
Right now. If he stays healthy next year, he wins that award.
You know Draymond's going to go after that? He's going to try to go after All-NBA. And again. what happens long term there too? Because if whether Draymond falls off or they don't pay him or whatever, that's another huge thing.
There's a couple of things that are just complete unknowns. Number one, we don't know how Porzingis is going to look with Doncic. We also don't know whether they sign a major free agent. Maybe they don't, not one of the top guys, but they sign.
They could get Kemba Walker, player.
You know,
someone like that.
Dallas has upward mobility. Depending on what New Orleans gets, and depending on how good Zion is, that, you know, if they get Jason Tatum, if they roll out a team with Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Drew Holiday, and Zion Williamson,
it's fun as hell. And please come to the games.
And
New
Zion
Orleans
Williamson
fans.
Is the rookie of the year, possibly. We think that could be a team. Denver, obviously.
Look, there's compelling young teams in the West, right. But there is not. It's not the same thing as we've had in the West for two decades, where it's been Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, Kobe Bryant.
Dominators.
You know, now Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. There are not teams like that right now in the West. There are a bunch of intriguing young teams that could be good or could be interesting. But, like, again, we're talking about the Denver Nuggets, right? I mean, Denver lost a Game 7 at home in the second round and almost lost a Game 7 at home in the first round to undermanned, you know, inferior opponents, right? That team has a lot of growing to do. You know, Houston is on the downside.
James Harden and Chris Paul's contract.
Right. Well, right. They're on the downside. The Warriors are now in Houston, all kinds of flux.
But Houston may be thinking.
Well, look, they got a shot again, right?
They're going to think about running it.
But
back.
Again,
they're thinking that they got to be thinking with some crazy stuff in
well,
between
listen,
because
they could maybe
Chris
get to
Paul's
the final.
Contract is atrocious.
I know, but they are a pretty good team.
But listen, again, this goes back to the same thing, right?
Not
part of the
enough.
Reason I believed in Toronto in this series was that I thought that all four teams atop the East were better than the Rockets all season. And as you go forward here, maybe the Rockets get to the finals, but I think they would be underdogs against any of the top teams in the East, especially with all those guys being a year older. So again, like, I do think we could be finally seeing
older.
A shift east that we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, and to me, you know, if Kawhi goes to the Clippers and the Clippers use that other piece of cap space in a prudent way.
I mean, look, that could easily be the best team in the West next year.
Yes.
I know Andrew Hahn's excited. But look, Kawhi really could be the kingmaker. Because again, he's the one guy of the three guys, incredibly, who is still healthy.
When he was walking around after the game today, with holding the Bill Russell Trophy, he was limping.
He always looks like he's limping, though.
I know, but that leg—I don't think that leg is 100%. I think that's clear.
I mean, one thing's for sure is that Brian led with it in his final story that Kawhi Leonard is definitely the giant killer. He has just ended two dynasties. In his two finals.
And listen, I think he's the best player in the league.
By the way, so he averaged 28 points and 10 rebounds in this series. He led the playoffs in points, rebounds, and steals, which hasn't happened since Larry Bird. But he averaged 28 and 10 in this series. And that was with a subpar game six. And game five, he was good but not great. When he won the finals MVP with the Spurs, he averaged like 17 points or 18 points. I mean, it's just, you know.
He just, even though he wasn't quite the same athletic force as he was in his earlier days, he just controlled everything at both ends all the time. It's been remarkable to watch him go through these playoffs and just knock out one guy after another. Goes up against Joel Embiid, goes up against Giannis, goes up against the Warriors,
and that
takes them all out.
And that mid-range jumper that he has developed that he can get off against anybody. So super valuable in the postseason.
Huge. Because,
and so if you're the Clippers, boy, the stakes gotten high because you thought, well, maybe we can get Durant. You know, Ian Begley, our former colleague who's now with SNY, reported today that the Knicks were expected to get a meeting with Kawhi. I don't think there's any chance they can get him, do you?
I mean, you know, his uncle, Dennis Robertson, is, you know, grew up in the same area as Steve Mills. You know, there's some connections there. I mean, look, it wouldn't stun me if they got a meeting. But, you know, look, I think all year long we thought that it was going to be either the Raptors or the Clippers. That's probably what it's going to be. But again, after the way this last week has played out, I'm just kind of over trying
I'm
to
just
figure
saying
out
that I think if you're in the West, you possibly could smell blood in the water and you could maybe accelerate your plans a little bit. If you're Denver, for example, does Denver think about cashing in some of his chips and making
Look to go back to the other side of it, right? Look at what the Raptors just did. The Raptors were a team that was banging on the door. They had this nice team that wasn't really ever – nobody ever really thought that team had a chance to really win. I mean, you were in the East for a long time. That team was always like, yeah, they're a nice team. They get to the second round. They're not good enough, right? And then they throw their eggs. They throw all their chips in. They go, hey, we're going to go get Kawhi Leonard, and we got a shot then. And they won. So to your point, maybe somebody does the same thing with Anthony Davis. So the hell with it. We're going to give it a run and see what happens.
Andrew, what does winning the championship mean?
What?
What does winning the championship mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean? I don't even understand this question.
You know, you didn't pay attention to me from earlier. When you win the championship, what does it mean?
You make a lot of money and go to Disney World.
It means never having to say you're sorry.
You didn't read Brian's 5-on-5 answer.
I've been saying that for years.
No, I don't read that stuff.
I mean, you don't read anything.
It means never having to say you're sorry. The Raptors never have to say they're sorry about anything. Even if Kawhi walks, even if Masai walks, even if Kyle Lowry gets old and all of a sudden...
Look, if Kawhi leaves, they could end up trading all these guys. They could just blow it up. It's possible.
But they
could be a team that I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make some kind of stealth run at Anthony Davis if Masai does stay. I mean...
That would be amazing.
I mean, look. I mean, Masai will swing for the fences.
You build a trade package around Pascal Siakam, I'll bet you can get some traction on something.
This is a real blackjack run type situation that the Raptors are on. They just, you know, they double down. They split, and if they go after Anthony Davis, it's just they're really going to ride that.
Well, listen, you know what they did? It was a testament to their whole year. Was just a testament to seeing opportunities and taking advantage of it. Right? They get Kawhi Leonard for pennies on the dollar. Because of a weird situation, right? They get Marc Gasol.
Thanks, Uncle Dennis.
They get Marc Gasol for pennies on the dollar because of a weird situation. They get Danny Green thrown into the trade, right? Nick Nurse comes into training camp. Pascal Siakam's not even guaranteed to be a starter. And they tell him, look, you're going to go do stuff, right? I mean, Brian said it many times on the pod. He went to see them in preseason. I remember he called me. He's like, this Raptors team, what is going on? These
guys
are crazy.
I did write a story that was like, somebody tell the Raptors how good they are. Didn't quite qualify as a prediction of a championship.
But well, you don't do predictions, remember? No.
I know somebody who does.
And quite well. Yeah, Bontemps is going to have to think long and hard after predicting the Lakers 9 months out wouldn't make the playoffs.
Well, listen, sometimes you get predictions right and sometimes you get them wrong. This year has been fun.
This series was completely unpredictable, but one thing that was clear is that the Raptors are really good.
I just feel bad real quick for Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan in this moment. I feel bad for him, and it speaks to what Timmy was saying. They were a nice team full of good guys that you enjoyed watching, but that group collectively just wasn't enough. You get Kawhi, you get a couple other pieces, boom, they win a title. But those guys invested so much into that city, into that organization, and that's the way pro sports happens sometimes, and they've handled it with class, but in that moment, I just felt real bad for them because they invested so much.
And Fred VanVleet called that out. He also mentioned Jonas Valanciunas.
Look, that was a group that really liked each other, yeah. Right? All those guys. But at the end of the day, if you're going to win in pro sports, to your point, Nick, you got to make hard choices. And you look over the past year, they fired Dwayne Casey. They traded DeMar DeRozan. They traded Jonas Valanciunas. Every single time, they upgraded. And because of that, they're champions.
Yes, they are. All right, well, we will be talking to you next week, which is draft week. My God, we haven't even talked about the draft, really. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know anything about the draft.
Zion's going number one.
Looks like Zion's going number one, Ja's going number two, and JT.
That's a prediction.
JT Barrett. That's what happens when you have a Wasu fan on the pod.
I said it on national television. RJ Barrett. I can't help it with Ohio State fan. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Have a good weekend. We hope you enjoyed the finals. Now the fun really starts.